welcome to Vision Scope, a program designed to educate and inform on matters relating to disabilities. My name is Wilbert Williams. We have a very special guest in the studio today. She is Tiffany Pena Guzman. Tiffany, I hope I got that right.
You got it correct.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yes. Nice to have you in the studio today. Tiffany is in the state of Florida. But I don't want to steal her thunder. I want her to tell you, the listeners, all about her. Let's start up. Who is Tiffany?
Well, Tiffany is a musician. She loves gospel music. Like every second, even sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you catch her singing. And I love the Lord. I love anything to do with blind and visually impaired empowerment, that kind of thing. And I don't know what you call that, ambivert. Sometimes could be an introvert, sometimes extrovert. But
you don't look to me like that. You don't look to me like an introvert at all. I don't know where you get that. I don't know where you get that from. Eh? But that is beside the point. The point is that you're a good singer, and it's coming back now. I think I heard a piece or two from you somewhere on one of the chats. Did I?
It was on the chat. I sent it on the chat. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Move for the blind chat. Yes.
Yes. It's all coming back now. All right. How would you describe yourself, Tiffany, to somebody who is listening to you but can't really see you because we're on radio? How would you describe yourself?
Well, I'm very short. I'm 4'10". I basically almost have no hair. I cut my hair. I'm of dark skin complexion, and I'm wearing a thick glasses with a pink frame because pink is my favorite color.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that Tiffany is small or medium or
small? Very some bite size.
All right. So Tiffany, you are blind. I take it from the discussion we had earlier.
I'm legally blind.
You are legally blind.
I have one eye that sees, but it's limited because I have glaucoma, and I had my right eye removed due to severe glaucoma. The pain was nasty, so I had them to remove it.
So they removed it for comfort's sake.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a prosthetic, and okay. People don't realize it's a prosthetic because it looks real.
Okay.
Yeah.
In our conversation off air, you told me that you are a graduate of the Salvation Army School for the Blind.
That I am.
Yes. When did you start school? And talk to us about School for the Blind and your experiences there.
Have you got a week? No, LOL. Anyways.
I could take a year.
So I started the Salvation Army School for the Blind in grade one in September of 1998. Mm-hmm. That time the principal was then Vivalyn Lattie Scott. Oh, that was
the cricketer.
The cricketer.
Yes.
She took a liking to me even the first day I went there, and she knew I wear the thick glasses. So the first thing I remember her telling me is, make certain nobody touches your glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. But I will tell you, when I started School for the Blind, I didn't really have a concept of what blindness is, that it was a spectrum and that kind of stuff. I thought, once you're blind, you're blind. So I'm thinking to myself, why am I at this school? Then I come to realize that there are people like me who could see quite a bit and that kind of thing. School for the Blind, what I can remember is there's a whole, you know, I'm a musician, so there was like a whole host of musical talent. Our Christmas concerts was second to none. I remember I competed in festival in the gospel category, Children's Gospel Festival, as well as a merry-go-round. I didn't make it in there. I just auditioned, but it was still a good experience. For the Children's Gospel, I did Love in Any Language.
So music, I take it, was your favorite subject at school.
Oh, yeah.
Which other one you would say came close to music?
Honestly, subject-wise, I would have to say reading.
You love to read.
Yeah, I love to read.
Mm-hmm. And as you went through school, what was it like in the classroom for you?
Oh, wow. In the classroom, it was easy to make friends in the classroom because it was small classroom sizes. It was very good. As children, yeah, you would have your ups and downs. People like argue and that kind of stuff. But at the same breath, it was still fun. I remember, I'm going to name drop here. I remember all the time if in the class, it was either me comes first and Alistair McLean, I don't know if you interview him before, comes second or vice versa.
No, yet. Mm-hmm. So
it was either me or him, vice versa.
Mm-hmm. So you went through School for the Blind and eventually graduated?
Yes, in 2004.
All right. When you graduated, what did you do after that, immediately after that?
Immediately, I migrated to Florida and I attended Millennium Middle School and Seminole High, which was kind of a culture shock to me because only blind student there. And I'm like, this is weird. And to tell you the truth, I'm going to make it plain. Moving to another country, I don't advise against it unless you have some sort of counseling. Because the culture shock and everything I was, and sometimes it get to me like in a depression. Because you don't know what the culture is like. And plus, me being thrown into a school with just sighted kids, wasn't used to all of that. In fact, I was accused of being prejudiced. It's just, I wasn't used to that. I was just thrown into, but yeah.
For what reason were you?
Because I wanted to go back to a school for the blind.
Okay. Yeah. So in fact, you had a bias.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a bias, just what I'm used to.
But it's natural.
Yeah, it's natural.
Mm. All right, let's talk a little bit about the transition. Your parents were in the States?
We all left together.
Okay.
We left on the same day.
So you went up with your parents?
Yes.
To this new environment and new experiences? Tiffany, let's drill down a little bit and talk about some of the things that you encountered. Give us some actual experiences of things that happened to you when you moved to Florida.
All right, so let's start with school. I went to school and I'm seeing seeing people of like different colors, and also not hearing the patois. That was a big thing. Mm-hmm. I love speaking patois, and not hearing it was like,
mm-hmm.
And another big culture shock is I'm Seventh-day Adventist, and I went into our Adventist church, and I'm seeing women wearing pants go church.
Can you believe it? You couldn't do that in the Caribbean.
No. I went to the evening program, what we would call AY, and I'm seeing the kids and the women with pants. I'm like, where am I? Am I at church? What's going on? What is happening? What?
So those things really shocked you.
Yeah. And now growing up into an adult, I now wear pants to go to church.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So when you got there, who helped you to really settle down and really take hold of yourself?
Honestly, the helping settle down was kind of a process because we all trying to settle down our own selves.
Because you went up together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to settle down, we all trying to settle down on our own. So parents are getting used to it and that kind of still kind of stuff and that kind of thing. So we going through that transition our own selves. So is to actually try to find our own niche in life and try to see how best we can settle, that kind of thing. So as far as help, we're trying to help our own selves because we're going through it together. Yeah.
So you went through college there and then graduated?
Yeah, I graduated 2018 from Oakwood University. I know there's probably some listening because trust me, I can't hide from that university. Everywhere I go, I find somebody went to Oakwood. So
okay. What did you do at Oakwood?
I studied music and social work. The music was a minor, and the social work was my major. What I would like to do in the future is marry the two of them together. Like I would plan concerts. And in between my set, I would talk about the importance of disability inclusion, especially in the church level and that kind of thing, because we're the most under-evangelized, the people with disabilities and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yeah, why not marry both of them together, social work and music? So
you have decided to specialize in church music.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Do you play any instruments at all?
Oh, yeah. I'm a keyboardist.
Oh, you play the keyboard?
Yes.
So it's keyboard plus vocals.
Yeah,
so
keyboard
you, you, vocals. So you had training in vocals as well?
Yes, I had training in vocals.
How long was the course?
5 years.
That's a long time. You enjoyed it? What did you enjoy most about it?
Oh, what I enjoyed actually wasn't academic. Again, it goes back to music. I was in a choir. It's called Voices of Triumph. Yes. And they're actually going to be in Orlando on Saturday. They were, if you know, like the Pentecostal style music, like very loud, upbeat, you can't sing without moving, kind of dance kind of music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the kind of choir I was in.
That's the kind of choir.
Yeah.
So you learned all the moves and...
Oh, yeah. Learned all the moves and everything.
What having moved to Florida now, what is the best thing about that move that you think really resonates with you?
Honestly, my husband.
And that's a good point at which to segue into that relationship. Because you have a husband. Tell us a little bit about how did you meet your husband?
Oh, okay. So I met him at Lighthouse Central Florida. They have a camp for people with disabilities. It was a teenage camp. I was 17. He was 15. So he's totally blind. So I just saw him just standing there. And I'm like, do you need help? Because I didn't see nobody walking with him. I was like, yeah. He did need help walking with somebody. So I'm walking with him. And I was asking him about his school because he attended the Florida School for the Deaf and Blind. So I was asking him about the school and that kind of stuff. Do they have some sort of choir and that kind of thing that I could join that's of religious affiliation? And then after me talking to him, I remembered that, yeah, they had a group, but it wasn't religious in character. And then I'm like, yeah, I can join it, but I don't know. But it's not religious, and I'm Seventh-day Adventist. Then he pops up, and I'm like, I'm Seventh-day Adventist, too.
Ah, so then both of you had something in common.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, what? But the thing is, before that, I was praying. I'm like, Lord, please let me meet somebody that's visually impaired and Seventh-day Adventist so I can meet somebody that knows what it's like and also follows the Lord. I never expected it to be a guy. But a year later, here he comes.
Yes. So, what was it like, I mean, when he decided to pop the question to you?
He was nervous. We both went to the same school. He was nervous. So he called me on my phone. He was like, I got a surprise for you. It was the ring. And he came, and I went into the lobby that's in my dorm. He actually forgot to do the knee. He looked at me and was like, so, will you marry me? I'm like, yes.
Oh, you were happy at the proposal.
Oh yeah.
As a blind person, how do you know that both of you were in sync? How did you come to that conclusion?
Honestly, personality and the way how he treats people, he's like a gentle soul. Like the how he treat people. And that's the only thing, like the personality and his love for God. There was one time I was going through a dark period and I was just feeling like low. He was like, why don't you just come to my church? That kind of sealed it for me.
Yes.
To think if somebody is going low and you invite them to church, that's the best thing. That's what sealed it for me.
Yes. And I suppose you both of you developed the capacity to reason together and all this sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
Talk to me now about mobility. How do you get around in Florida at the moment?
Okay, so we have a transportation service. It's called Access Links. You have to call them within 24 hours to set up your ride if you want to go somewhere. But for last minute trips, I use Uber or Lyft. So, yeah. Just push a button and I'm on an Uber.
So that way you really can get around.
Yes.
So having graduated and with social work and music, was it difficult to get a job then?
2 years, man. 2 years. 2 years.
That's a long time.
And it's not for one of looking. I'm looking and looking and looking. The thing is, people think in the U.S. that people don't think about people, that people don't look down on people with disabilities. Far from it. Because I even had a job interview at Aflac, which is insurance agency. And they literally asked me, are you independent? I'm like, yeah, this is not a place I want to be at if you're going to immediately ask me that kind of question.
Yeah, that seems to be out of sync.
Yeah, I'm like, no, I'm not for this. It took 2 years.
So eventually, you decided to go to the Lighthouse for the Blind. Is that it?
Yeah, they called me actually out the blue. It was 2020, the pandemic. They called me. I was like, do you want to come in for an interview? I'm like, it's the pandemic. When do y'all want people? I'm like, now? Can you come in for an interview tomorrow? I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah. So you went there. What was it like when you first went to Lighthouse for the Blind?
The first time I went, it was like a family. It was a lot of visually impaired people, so I could resonate with them. And we just sat and had lunch together. And it wasn't like we could bounce ideas off each other. It was mostly visually impaired. It's transitioned now to a mix. But when I first got there, it was mostly visually impaired people. And we just had fun, a ball, even though we were working.
And then, as you were telling me off air, you met up with a number of Jamaicans who work for that organization.
I work with Teresa, Anne Marie. Yeah, she trained me before I had that job for career readiness. She's the one who actually encouraged me to apply, so I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to me now about your music.
Pardon me?
Talk to me about your music.
Okay.
Have you done many stints in music outside of the training facilities? Like, do you get hired for jobs and that kind of thing?
COVID has brought me a dry spell. Honestly, I started getting a little bit hired, like a little gigs here and there.
It's opening up. It's gradually opening up now, is it?
No, honestly, even without the COVID, I'm still trying to find more ways so I can get in to be able to singing. Singing is my passion, and that's what I love to do. So I'm still trying to find, like, even putting myself out there so I can get more stints in, like, a church setting or just anywhere where I can praise his name.
But you want to be able to do it to on the side
to make
a living out of it.
Yes.
And because your training can't go in vain.
No, it can't. Not at all.
Tell me some of the songs that you have done so far.
I have a full-length album, and my most popular one is Trust Me. Then I have Jesus Will. I have an original that came out called Rest of My Life. I have a single coming out soon, and it's going to be called Fortify Me. Fortify Me. Yeah, it's coming out. And I recorded another song. I didn't write it, but it means a lot to me, especially with the pandemic. It's called Nara. It's by Tim Godfrey. And I recorded that one solely because it's really called Nara Ikelemo, which means Lord, receive my praise.
Let's go into the break with the playing of that song, which is the favorite song that you want played from that album. King Rocco has the album.
Yeah, King Rocco has the album.
Which song would you like to introduce from that album to be played?
Okay, so the favorite from the album that people love hearing that I would like to introduce is Trust Me.
Trust Me.
Yeah.
So listeners, we go into the break listening to Trust Me, and we'll come back for the rest of this interview.
So much for me, I cannot tell it all. Narekelemo. If I had 10,000 tongues, still won't be enough. Narekelemo. Shukuna for my brother. When you heal completely. Narekelemo. Shukuma robi mo. Shall I render to Jehovah? He has done so very much for me. What shall I render to Jehovah? He has done so very much for me. Nara, 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 kalemi. hard for me. I cannot tell it all. Not regularly. If I had 10,000 tongues, oh, it still won't be enough. Not regularly. Chuku na kwa my relay.
guys can go check out the music and all the social media platforms where you can buy music. My Redeemer. My Redeemer.
Tiffany is still with us, and we're going to continue our discussion. Tiffany, tell us about your experiences now in the kitchen. Do you like cooking?
Not really. I cook because of the necessity. My husband cooks more.
You cook because you have to eat?
Yeah.
What do you cook mostly?
Steak.
You love to bake?
No, steak.
Oh, steak. You love to cook steak.
Yeah.
What are some? Do you use any specialized gadgets in your kitchen? Because that is always of interest to blind people over the world. You know the gadgets you use. What do you use in your kitchen?
I used to have a microwave that works with Alexa. I shouldn't have said that because she might wake up. Oh, man.
The A-lady.
Yeah, the A-lady. Mm-hmm. Where you just tell her where to warm up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll warm it or bake, whatever the case may be. But that died, so I'm back to a regular microwave. And also use a regular stove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other gadgets in the kitchen?
No, not really, other than an air fryer, which is very good with for people with vision impairment, because you can just pop the stuff in the air fryer and it fries.
The union produced any children yet?
We're trying.
So you're anticipating that great day?
Yes.
When a youngster will come along?
Yes. We already picked out the name. So.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. How do you feel about, not so much how do you feel, but as two persons who are visually impaired, is coping a problem?
It depends on what the coping is about. Like, finances is like with vision impairment. Trying to cope financially sometimes is a little bit tiresome, but eventually I want to have my own business, because sometimes low wages, you know, and it's not just visually impaired thing, it's an inflation thing, honestly.
Yes.
And also coping with the how sighted people look at us, how sometimes sighted people will look down at those with disabilities, as if I should use a Jamaican terminology, like we're backhanded. Don't know how to do anything. Yeah, I had an experience in college, because we both went to the same college. I'm walking with my husband, and she saw me with my cane and him with his cane. This lady, and was like, you guys both can't be blind at the same time. That's impossible, because how are you helping him?
you can't deal with it.
Exactly. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
How did he take it?
He was dumbfounded.
Yes.
Like, because we never heard that in our life. Y'all both can't be blind at the same time. How y'all blind at the same time?
As if you were born together.
We're not conjoined twins, yo.
Yeah, it's fascinating the things that people do and say in front of persons who are blind. What about reading? You said earlier that you love to read. Do you still read a lot?
Honestly,
or you listen to books?
Honestly, with the advent of technology, I'm a technophile. I am addicted to technology, and that is part and parcel of being a millennial.
Yes.
Yeah. So my millennialism has taken over, which is sad.
So you spend a lot of time on the chat yeah. group and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not much in reading as you used to.
Yeah, which is sad, but I need to get back to that.
What about music? I know you love music because you specialize in it, but who is your favorite singer or musician?
Can I narrow it down to three?
Go ahead.
I like Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I like Foster Triplets.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Chitans, which is a family and full-time ministry. So are the Foster Triplets. And I got to add this one more, Voices of Triumph. They have a CD out, this choir that I used to be in, Voices of Triumph.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you were exiled on an island and you could only take one of those albums, which one would you take?
My Voice is a Triumph album.
That's the one you would take?
Yeah.
Why?
I love choir music. And to just hear the voices, if I'm exiled, just to hear the choir music would fill my soul. Because I'm going to tell you right now, choir music has died. It has given way to praise team, and there's nothing like a choir sound. So to just hear them, oh, trust me.
So, you just love choral music.
Oh yeah.
Yes. What is your favorite food?
Meatloaf.
You love meatloaf.
Oh yeah. I was introduced to it at the Rehab Center for the Blind, which is in Daytona Beach, Florida. And I was hooked.
And so you really get hooked on it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a vegetarian meatloaf or a real meatloaf, trust me, I'll eat.
once it's meatloaf.
Exactly.
Yes. What kind of statement would you like to leave with your audience? You have two sets of people listening to you. One set disabled, the other set not disabled. What statement would you like to leave to cover both sets? You can do it in two parts if you like. Just take 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes to talk to our listeners.
I would say don't let anyone look down or despise you because you're disabled. Disability is not inability. You can do whatever you've set forth. And for our sighted people, give us a chance. Let us show you what we can do. Let us show you what we're made of. Because above all, we're human.
That's it. And to all our listeners who are not disabled, what would you like to say to them? Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Mixed it. I was saying can you hear me?
I'm hearing you now, yes.
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying to all listeners who are not disabled, what would you like to say to them?
To the people that are not disabled, as I stated before, like, give us a chance to show you what we're made of. And also, people with not that don't have disabilities, they have challenges themselves to whatever challenge that you have and are facing. Put God in the forefront. Don't leave him out of anything. Keep your devotional life up and your prayer muscles clenched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, very important.
Mm-hmm.
If you could choose 3 issues that you think confront people in Florida, what would be the 3 issues, 3 major issues confronting people who are blind and or visually impaired? What would those be?
Number one is inflation. Number 2 is discrimination, because sometimes when you're looking for a job, employers will discriminate under the quiet. And for 3, mobility. Yes, we have the access links and that kind of thing, but the access links and the Uber, but I'm going to give you something that happens with Ubers and Lyfts sometimes. When there are people with service animals, like guide dogs and that kind of stuff, they're allowed to be on those transportation. But what would happen is the Ubers and Lyft, they will deny people with guide dogs and that kind of stuff simply because they don't like dogs.
I heard about it. Yes. Well, let's talk to us a little bit about number one. Number one, you said, was
inflation.
Why is inflation so high on the list? Blind people need money.
Oh yeah, we're human. We have to survive. Buy food. Buy groceries. If you so happen to have a rental property, buy rent. In my case, I have a house, so sometimes like mortgage payments. Although, yeah, blind people will need money. We're human as well. So with inflation, very high. Grocery high, everything high.
And on top of that, you have to pay for services sometimes, extra services.
The services, those extra services are free.
They're free in the States. Thank God for that, for you people.
Yeah, not transportation, but for the extra services, like for the Division of Blind Services that help people with disabilities, like find jobs or get...
Hello?
Mobility training and that kind of stuff, to get a cane from Division of Blind Services and that kind of stuff free.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Yeah. I'm hearing you. What about, talk to us about discrimination a little more. Why is discrimination on the list?
So it's illegal to ask people questions in, like, as an employer, as pertains to people with disabilities. People will find ways and means to try to go under that topic by asking questions that don't seem to be about your disability, but in actual fact, it is, and they don't think that people with disabilities will pick it up. Like, for example, how would you get to work and that kind of thing too. And they have this form, I'm finding with most employers, where you would... like literally check the box if you're disabled or not. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. Once them say that,
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we have just about come to the end of that interview. We look forward to greater interaction with you. Feel free to come back anytime and talk with us. And all the best to you and your husband. All right?
All right. Thank you. Yes.
Have any questions or comments regarding this program, please address them to norwill2@gmail.com. That is norwill2@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Have a happy and productive week. That's it for today. Join me next time when we will present another in the series Vision Scope. Music was provided by Rennie Williams Jr.